Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Thank you ever so much for your welcome. It's really good to be back with you in Highfields to see old friends and new faces. It's good to see Alison as well. Alison and I were both MAs here together in the 2006-2007 season, if you are interested in your church history. The folks at Minster, the church there, say a big hello and God bless you and hope that you're doing okay. They send their greetings to you. And it's great for me to be here this evening and to look at God's word with you. So do have Psalm 121 that Liz read open before you. That would be really helpful. And as we come to hear what God has to say to us, let's pray. Gracious God, for those of us for whom this psalm is so familiar, maybe we know it almost off by heart. We ask that this evening you, the speaking God, would speak to us afresh and give us a greater vision of you, of the Lord Jesus Christ, of your care and love for us. Father, for those of us for whom maybe this psalm is not familiar, or we don't know it, or we never even read it before, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. And Lord, help us to see that you are a God worth following on life's journey. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Von Trapp family are taking shelter in the abbey once inhabited by Maria, now Mrs. Von Trapp, of course. They're hiding in the shadows trying to escape the clutches of the military police. Captain Von Trapp has been ordered to apply his military skills in service of the Third Reich, but there's no way he's going to do it. As the men approach and the family hunch back in the shadows with the strings of Rodgers and Hammerstein playing ominously in the background, Maria is heard to whisper in perfect King James English, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help." And the family eventually escape over the hills to Switzerland and live happily ever after. I think Psalm 121 has got to be one of the most loved chapters in the whole Bible, hasn't it? People have it at their weddings. People get it read at their funerals. People write songs about it. Christians send each other greetings cards and calendars with pictures of hills and fields and sheep on them and text from this psalm. It's on our bookmarks, it's on our stationery, it's on people's walls. It even helped the family Von Trapp. Why are these eight verses so popular? Well, they're beautiful poetry, aren't they? They're talking about God watching out for us, making sure we're okay. I think they're also popular because they speak to a real felt need that each of us has for security, for protection. In all the busyness of life, bad things happen in the world, don't they? And we want to be protected from them. You may be here this evening and think, well, actually, I don't particularly think I need any help at the moment. I'm doing all right. I'm quite well off. I've got lots of friends, plenty of money. You may not think you need any help. But how would you cope with things if life changed? How would you cope with, say, losing your job, losing a loved one, losing your possessions, ambush, illness, life, death? Can you cope with those things? Or do you need help? Maybe as you grow older, you'd say, as the Beatles did, when I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and open up the doors. Won't you please, please help me? Well, the good news is that this psalm does so much more than make us feel better inside. It points us to the God who is the Lord over all. He's the King of the universe. He is the one who knows our every need, actually better than we know it ourselves. He can be trusted along the way, along every step of life's journey. That's what life is, isn't it? It's a journey. We're all heading for somewhere, whether we think about it much or not. We like to think of life as a journey, don't we? The people who win the new series of The X Factor will be those probably who have been on the best journey, the ups and downs, the encounters, the challenges, the hopes and fears, the dreams. Life is a journey. This psalm was written for a journey. We read in the little, well, we didn't read it, but it's there in the little bit under the numbers. It says it's a song of ascent, a song that people used to sing when they were ascending somewhere, when they were going up somewhere. And there's only one place that Old Testament Israelites used to go up to, and that was Israel, to worship, to the temple, annually to celebrate the feast that told them about what God has done for them, how he'd saved them. It's a bit like we talk about wherever we were, we'd be in Wales. We say, oh, we're going up to Cardiff, even if we were in North Wales. Or we're going up to London, even if it's across the M4. But the Jews used to go up to Israel. That was their place of ascent, of worship. And so this psalm was written for a journey. These pilgrim people who set out on their journey to worship God together. A journey that could have anything in store, really. They sing this song to encourage them, to remind them of their great God as they walk along the way. And so this song's got something to say to us today as people of faith, as Christian believers. We too are on a journey of faith. And we too should be trusting this same God every step of the way. It's got something to say to us, if you like, at an even louder volume, because now we live this side of when the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into history. And if you like, amplified the promises of this psalm. Maybe you're not a regular churchgoer here this evening. You wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You're a bit interested and you'd quite like a faith, but you don't really know where to start. Well then, have a read of this psalm as I explain it tonight and really ask yourself if this God here that you see on this page, if he can be trusted with your life. The big question that this psalm asks for us is, where does my help come from? It's there in verse 1, isn't it? The psalmist says, where does my help come from? We're going to look at the answer to that question under three headings tonight. First of all, real help comes from the Creator who is always awake. The Creator who is always awake, verses 1 to 4. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I love the hills. Hills are great, aren't they? There's nothing better than going out for a walk up Caerphilly Mountain or Penavan, or if you're adventurous, Snowdon maybe. The hills are great. You can picture, can't you, our pilgrim Israelite friend on his journey, looking up towards the hills, and then maybe further on, looking towards that big hill with the temple on it. They might look up, but they are not reassured by the hills. They're not thinking of the hills in the same way as Maria did in The Sound of Music. The hills don't make them feel at ease. There are no postcards for sale in the Israel gift shop depicting lovely scenes of hills as calm, idyllic places to stroll through on a Sunday afternoon. The hills were the home of bandits. They were home of robbers who could ambush the pilgrims at any time. Many hills had to be climbed as the pilgrim ascended to Jerusalem. How will they stay safe from the perils of robbers and attackers? The hills were also a stark reminder that the God of Israel wasn't the only God in town. On the pilgrim's journey to Jerusalem, he or she would encounter people from different backgrounds, from different cultures, from different faiths. People who had no real respect for the Lord, the God of Israel. People who had their own gods, who lived life with their own religious system, bowing down to idols, to statues. And they would set these things where? Well, they put them on the hills. They would be up there and they would go up to worship their own gods on the high points. So you can see the problems faced by the pilgrim Israelite, can't you? How am I going to get up and over these hills and safely to worship God? How do we navigate the dangers of life? How will the Israelite not be abused and mugged on the way? How are we as Christian believers going to get to the end? Going to get to the goal of our faith? Is our life going to be okay? Is my family going to be okay? Will they be safe? What about the people that want to do me harm along the way? What about the pressures I feel at work and from my friends to just give up and actually trust in something else for security along life's way? Maybe I should just do what they do and work and put all my security in my bank balance and just take from people who take from me. Otherwise, I'm not going to get on in life. We all face these pressures, don't we, in different ways at different stages. But where is real help going to come from on life's journey? Answer, verse 2. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator, who's always awake. When faced with the pressure from the hills of life as we go along life's way, we all tend to just run through life trying to catch up with ourselves, don't we? We're running around throwing our lot in with different created things, thinking, oh, well, this will do me a bit of good here or a bit of good there, and I'll get on with life if I hang out with those people or do this. They look like they're going to give us complete security. They promise much, but they never deliver, do they? We find ourselves running on to the next thing, the next thing, the next amount of money, the next relationship. Real help only comes from lifting our eyes off these things and lifting them up, raising them above the hills, above the danger, above the temptation, to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the God who made all these things, the Lord of creation. He is the only one who can guarantee complete security. Even through all the bad stuff that life throws at us. How is he able to do that? Well, this psalm tells us he's the maker of heaven and earth. He made even us. He made human beings in his image, in his likeness. He created us in a way especially designed that we should turn to him and find complete security. There's one difference here, isn't there, that's pointed out that by this psalmist between the Lord and the other gods, the other idols. In verse 3, isn't it? He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. We all need sleep, don't we? I'm acutely aware of this fact now that we have a 9-month-old little boy. I'm constantly craving sleep. I think, oh, when am I going to sleep? When is he going to sleep? When are we going to sleep? We need sleep, don't we? We all need sleep. We have to go to bed every night. Well, students, but you know, we have to go to bed at least 1 in 2. And we all need sleep. But that's the difference. See, God doesn't need any sleep. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He never feels the need to doze off of an afternoon. He's always awake and alert. And this is a difference between God, the Lord God of Israel, and other gods that are encountered in the Bible, actually. People had gods for springtime, for summertime, for winter, gods for the harvest. Why did they have all these gods? Well, they probably thought that, well, the summer god, when it came to winter, he just went to sleep. He needed another one. No one god can provide everything that you need. Come on. Do you remember, or have you read the Old Testament story of the life of Elijah, the prophet? How one day, and it's written for us in 1 Kings 18, where he encounters the prophets of Baal, who reckon their God is greater than the God of Israel. And they set up this big display, this altar, and whichever God comes down and licks up the altar through fire is going to be the true God. And so the prophets of Baal, they go round and they do all this thing. They go on their merry religious way and do their ceremony and everything, and nothing happens. And Elijah turns to them and says, well, you know, maybe you should call a bit louder. Do you think your God is sleeping? And the worrying thing is that they didn't bat an eyelid at that. They thought, oh yeah, maybe he is sleeping. And so they do, they try harder and they think, oh, maybe God is sleeping and he's waking up. But this is not our God. Our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. As Christian believers, we worship a God who is the creator, who made us, and he's always awake, he's always alert. He never takes his eye off the ball of anything, even in your life. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Do you want reassurance this evening that God isn't sleeping? That though it may seem like it in your life, that he hasn't actually gone to sleep? Well, one thing you could do is read your Bible and get to know how God dealt with his people Israel. Throughout their story, we're told of this God who is always at work. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of these pilgrims here. He is your God. He made you. And he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Real help comes from the Creator who is always awake. Secondly, real help comes from the Savior who is always your shade. Verses 5 and 6. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. I like the sun, but the sun doesn't like me, I think. I'm quite different to my wife Ruth in that respect. She can sit out in the sun for hours and go brown. I sit out for minutes and go red. And so my ears prick up when I read of this psalm saying, oh, the sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. I used to be on a team that ran holiday clubs for kids on beaches in Cornwall in the summer. And one week we decided to learn this psalm together. And we'd be sitting there in the morning, so looking out at the 30 degree heat, slapping on the factor 50 and saying, oh, the sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. But is this what the psalm is really talking about? Is it? Well, in a way maybe, but there's much more to it than that. We all are aware of the dangers of the sun and sunstroke and the damage it can do to us. And I think people back then were as well. And they also believed that the moon maybe had strange powers to make you go a bit loopy on certain days. And I think that's a belief still upheld by some parents and school teachers. But the thing is, we know that God also made these things. He made the sun and he made the moon. And the psalmist in his song, his poem here, is using those two things to say that, you know, anything in all creation, day and night, sun and moon, will not harm you. The sun and moon themselves were, just like other idols, worshipped by people. I'm sure you've heard or read of the Egyptian sun god Ra and gods like that. It was the same back in Old Testament times. To not sacrifice to these things would be to put yourself at risk, maybe. And so there's a fear of harm being depicted here, isn't there, in these verses. You tend to sacrifice to a god that you fear the most. If you're worried on your pilgrim journey that the sun's going to do you harm or the moon's going to do you harm, then you toe the line with the sun worshippers and the moon worshippers to make sure you're going to be okay. It's the same today, isn't it? If you think something's got the potential to do you harm, then what do? Well, you make sure you keep it happy, don't you? Whether it's your boss or your bank savings or your addiction or whatever it is, if you fear it, you worship it. It's a sort of inverted form of trust. But this psalm reminds us, doesn't it, that ultimate shelter, ultimate protection, ultimate acceptance comes not from serving any of these created things, not from worrying about if any of these things can protect you. But it's finding yourself in the protected place of the shadow of the Lord God, the shade at your right hand. You see, the shade, sheltering in God's shadow, it's a biblical picture of security, of blessing, of protection, of God's reign over your life, over all your activities. And your right hand is another biblical picture of where your protector stood, where your keeper was there for you, where the person was who was going to protect you and look after you and fight for you, where your champion wins battles for you. The Lord is our shade at our right hand. God saves us from, He graciously saves us from our turning to these idols that promise much but never deliver. He is the true source of security and protection. This is the story that we read in our Bibles throughout, isn't it? God's shelter for His people, God's care for them, God's forgiveness of them, God's presence with them, which is only made possible through a sacrifice for sin, for our turning from God, for our idolatry. As the hymn writer writes of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, He fights for breath. He fights for me, loosing sinners from the claims of hell. And with a shout, our souls are free, death defeated by Emmanuel. Real help comes from the Savior who is always your shade. I wonder, are you trusting God as your rescuer, as your Savior tonight? Who have you got at your right hand who's there fighting for you against temptation, against sin, against idolatry? Who has defeated these fears for you? Do you have a Savior? Are you on your own? Or do you have Christ? Do you have the one who, although He was entitled to occupy God's shade, God's blessing for all eternity, left that shelter and went outside of God's blessing, went out to be exposed to the excruciating effects of our sin, of our idolatry, of our own rebellion, as He died the agonizing death of the cross, bearing the punishment we deserve? Because He was abandoned, we need never be. And we have Christ with us, our champion at our right hand. He guarantees, because He fights for us and pleads for us and has won victory for us over death, over hell, over sin, over the devil, He guarantees that we will get to the end of life's journey. He is always our shade, always our shelter. Will you turn and trust in this great Savior? Real help comes from God the Creator, who is always awake. God the Savior, who is always your shade. And finally, from God the Helper, who is always your aid. Let's look at verse 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Life is just full of coming and going, isn't it? Comings and goings. I was in Oxford last night. I'm here in Cardiff tonight. We're off on holiday this week. It's just all coming and going and busyness, isn't it? And so these verses they speak great comfort into our busy lives. They say to us that we have a God, we have a helper who walks beside us, who is there for us, who will watch over us. In fact, it's probably more protection than we've ever imagined, really, because the biblical picture painted by this word life is so much more than we probably think of. It's more than our day-to-day activities. It's more than our career path. It's more than the journey our life will take. It's more than the places we visit. It's our whole being. It's our whole existence, life. It's who we are. It includes our destiny. It includes, in this picture, life even beyond the grave. Eternal life, the hope of life forever with our God and King. And so as we walk through the changes of life, the ups and the downs, the busyness of it all, the coming and going, we have a helper who walks with us. Not one who cheers from the sidelines, but one who has actually gone before us and walked our walk and felt our pain. He bids us to come and follow him. That was the call of Christ, wasn't it? Not just sit around and listen to my teaching, but come and follow me. Live your life. Live life's journey following me. Real help comes from the helper who is always your aid. As Christians today in Cardiff on the 22nd of August 2010, we stand in such a privileged position. I would even say that we know this help in a greater measure than those pilgrims did setting out on that journey to Jerusalem that day. Because as we journey together in life, we are no longer headed for Jerusalem. We're no longer headed for a physical building, a temple. Because there came a point in history when God moved the temple. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ Jesus, who came to this earth, who was very God, who came to usher in God's kingdom, to invite people to share in God's rule and blessing in their lives. He's invited us to come and follow him, not in a once a year pilgrimage to a place, to a temple, but on a lifetime's journey to a new city, to a new glorious place where we know the presence of God, where we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. A city in which there is no temple, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Because Christ himself is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, they are the triune God. Christ the Lord can speak this psalm to us. He can say to us this evening, I will not let your foot slip. He can stand there as the great high priest and bless us as we go on life's journey and say, I will not sleep. I will not stop interceding for you. I will not take rest in pleading for you before my Father. I will watch over you. I have conquered sin for you. I will watch over your life. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will come in and go out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The journey of faith is not an individual pursuit. It's a community affair. I don't know if you spotted this as we read through the psalm, but it seems as if there are two voices talking. The psalmist says, I will lift my eyes to the hills, and where's my help going to come from? My help comes from the Lord. And then it's like another voice chimes in and says, yeah, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you is not going to sleep. It's almost like somebody else is encouraging that pilgrim along the way, isn't it? So it's a reminder for us that we take this journey together as God's people, as a community. We can use this psalm to encourage one another, even this week. Maybe as you go through life this week and you meet one with another, maybe you meet with another, a brother or sister this week, and they say to you, well, I'm really struggling with this situation. I don't really know what to do. I fear what's happening. I fear that person or that situation. Where should I go for help? Will you point them to this psalm? Will you remind each other of it? Will you point them to our God, the God who will do them no ultimate harm, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Friend? For he is the only one able to do us ultimate good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as the evening draws in, as the light dims, we rejoice and thank you and praise you again that we trust in a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. Lord, we are grateful a long life's way that we have one who goes before us. We know you as Creator. We know you because you have revealed yourself to us and spoken to our hearts, and you have enlightened our minds to help you understand us, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our great Redeemer. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, another helper who lives in us and is Christ to us and among us as your people. Help us to point each other to you as we walk life's journey, for we trust in you, the great Creator God, the great Redeemer God, the great Helper. And we thank you for your unfailing presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen.